This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. I trust the program blesses, encourages, and challenges you. And for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. This program can be re-listened to there, and you can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, this is going to be heard, this program is going to be heard a couple of days after you've opened all of your presents and after all of the packaging has been put in the garbage and people have rejoiced in the fact that they've been able to again receive and give presents. So we probably won't rejoice in the fact that we spent time with family. I know in our case, our family get-togethers are going to be canceled as a result of the pandemic. Some people are not too concerned about the pandemic and will probably get together. But in our case, everyone in the family was quite concerned that they didn't want to share the virus if they should be silent carriers or asymptomatic carriers. And they, since both Geneva and I are elderly, they felt that we should be spared from being exposed to the possibility of getting the virus. So our rejoicing and family get-togethers were perhaps limited again this year, but I hope you did have a time when you could reflect on the blessings that you've enjoyed this year. And I know 2020 is really not a year that most of us are going to put down in the books as the best year of our lives. But at the same time, we do have a lot to be thankful for. We're alive and well, and we have a Bible before us that tells us of a Lord that loves us. And hopefully you didn't let all the tinsel and all of the lights and all of the commercialism of the day cloud the fact that there's a Lord who did come in the flesh in order to show his love for the world. And this one who came in the flesh, I'm not sure that he would consider Christmas Mary if you're looking at the day of his birth, born in an outside place as he was from the very beginning, not having a real warm place in this world. But at the same time, as we look at the Lord, he came, and we know he came because he wanted to reveal Christ to us and because he wanted to redeem us from the penalty that we deserve because of our sin. And I hope you've had that chance to reflect somewhat on that at this Christmas season. And so while I'm not sure Christmas was merry, I do hope you had that you yourself had a holiday when you could reflect on the blessings that we think about during this season. Now, again, last time we read the verse in John chapter 1 and verse 14, or the verses actually, which say, "The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory." The glory, or the beauty, or the honor, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. I suppose beauty is, in this case, the best way to translate the word here. The outshining effervescence of Christ is often associated with glory. The light is often associated with glory, but here it's probably his beauty. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me,' and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And so when we think of the holiday season, the Christmas season, we think of one who reflects a balance between grace and truth. And that's the one who was born at Bethlehem's manger. That's the one that the angels announced to the shepherds. That's the one that the wise men came to worship within the first 2 years of his life. This one who reflects both grace and truth. And as we mentioned last time, it's probably interesting that in the Old Testament, we think a lot about justice, and we think a lot about punishment. We think a lot about how that sin came into the world and destroyed that which was beautiful in the Garden of Eden. It destroyed the heart of man. It left us poisoned with the desire to do that which is wrong. And yet the Lord loved us and gave his Son to die for us. And so in the Old Testament, we see more of the law. And so we do read that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth, or the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And last time we looked at the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at his favor, the fact that he was a gift, the fact that he loved sinners. We looked at that. And now today we want to think about truth. Truth is something that's awfully hard to come by, and sometimes I ask myself, how do we really recognize the truth? Even when the Lord was before Pilate, Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Everybody would like to believe that truth is something today that we choose. We choose, it can be, your truth may not be my truth, we always say, but that's not true. That's logically not true. Truth is based on facts. Truth is based on, usually, if we talk about scientific truth, scientific truth is verifiable facts. It's facts that can be tested in the laboratory. But when it comes to the scriptural truth, we can't really test our what we believe in the laboratory, but we can use what we call inductive reasoning to verify truth. Now, inductive reasoning means this. If, in fact, my experience with a person has always been such that I believe he tells the truth, then probably in the future, if he tells me something, I'm going to believe he tells me the truth. I can't prove that what he says in the future is the truth, but inductively, it's going to make sense that he is telling me the truth. So if you pay your bills on time, and I've experienced this recently, the first time if you pay your bills on time, people will assume that the next time they give you a bill, you're going to pay it. You're going to pay it on time, and you're going to pay it in full, and you're going to pay it without argument. I remember the first time I called out a particular furnace repairman. They wanted their money before they left. This time the furnace repairman from that same company came out, and I said, well, what's the bill? And he said, well, I don't know. It says here not to worry about it. And of course, I got a bill in the mail. But the reason I got a bill in the mail was because their experience with me was that I paid my bills. Now, inductive reasoning can't prove that the next experience is going to be the same as the last experience, but it sort of assumes that. And when it comes to the Lord Jesus, we look at the prophecies that were given with regard to the Lord Jesus, and because the prophecies have been fulfilled in many cases in detail, we assume that what he told us is the truth. So the character of the person who is talking to us is extremely important when we talk about the truth. I always worry when somebody says, so help me God, because if they have to bring God into the equation, it must mean that they that somebody is questioning whether they tell the truth. I realize we do it in courtroom scenes and in other places where that's probably not true, but basically our word should be our bond. And that's why in this passage, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Can we depend upon the Word being the incarnation of God, the Word being Christ himself, the Word being the expression of God and the message from God? And what's that message? Well, we come to John 3:16, and the message is clear, the message is simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But in our day, it's difficult sometimes to know what is the truth. When it comes to our political situation, we have people arguing all the time as to what the truth is. And I'll be honest with you, I personally don't know how you sort it out so you know what the truth is. I just assume that if it comes from the mouth of a politician, no matter what politician it is, we probably should question whether it's the truth. Now, that's a sad reflection on the condition of things in the public sphere, but that's pretty much where I'm at. There are some politicians that I can have more confidence in than in others, but because all politicians have to obtain a certain amount of money in order to be reelected, and because they're in parties that force things on them that in some cases they don't really believe or support, but they have to support it in order to be reelected, yet you can't really depend on what a politician says. That's my opinion. That's not necessarily everybody's opinion, but that's my opinion. And so I'm very careful when I listen to what politicians say. Well, you say you can't depend on what the news says either. Well, that's probably true too. You can use a little common sense with regard to what you're hearing in the news, but probably the best thing to do with regard to the news is to turn it off. And so when we look at our day and age, we look at our politicians and we wonder if we can depend on them. We look at our news and we wonder if we can depend on them. Well, how can we be sure we can depend on what we read in the Bible? The Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, my answer to that is you got to use a little common sense. And the Lord tells us that he came from God. He goes back to God. He had people witness his birth. He had people witness his life. He had people witness his resurrection. And he has promised us that he's coming again to set things right. Now, can we depend on that or can't we? Well, because it's been 2,000 years since he left and he hasn't returned yet, according to his promise, there are people who are saying, see, he doesn't keep his promises, but 1 year with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day, Peter tells us. So I believe he keeps his promises. It's just that we don't know when he is going to keep his promise. And the fact that he hasn't returned is not reason to believe that he didn't tell us the truth. As a matter of fact, he says the reason he hasn't returned is because he's not willing that any should perish. He's not slack or slow concerning his promise, Peter tells us, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the fact that it's been a long time since he left and he hasn't returned doesn't mean that we can't depend on what he said. It just means that he's showing mercy to the people who haven't repented yet, and he's trying to give everyone an opportunity to recognize that this baby that was born in Bethlehem's manger became the Savior who died for our sins, and he's saying, repent ye and believe the gospel. And that's what I would say today. That's the purpose of the season, for that we might reflect again on the beauty of this one who is the Christ, the one who was called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And friend, I believe he tells the truth, and I believe that because as I've gone through the prophetic scriptures, I have found out that the ones that should have come to pass and did come to pass. And that's why I believe that when the Lord says he's the Word and he expresses God to us and he is the message from God, all we need to know about God we see in Christ. And when he tells us that if we believe in him, we'll have a home in heaven, when he tells us he's coming again, I believe that to be the truth. I wish I could convince everyone that's listening to that, that that's the truth. Not my truth, not your truth, but the truth. And I wish I could convince you of that, and I can only do that because what he has told me about myself is true. He knows that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He knows that I needed to be saved, and I'm trusting in the truth that when Christ died for sinners, he died for me, and that he's coming again to take me back to be with himself in heaven. And I hope this Christmas season you're enjoying that same truth. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless thy word and bless those who've listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We commit ourselves to you in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen.